You make us perfect. You make us holy, even though we are not. But in you we are.
Right.
And we want to keep following you, keep believing you, keep being your disciples and being obedient to your word and to your whatever you want us to do, God. Allow us to have our lives following you every day, not only Sundays, but every day in our lives, that we can be your worshipers in spirit and in truth every day, every moment, in everywhere we are. Allow us, God, to worship you and to honor you with our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, God. Our children are on their way to Sunday school, and we're glad about that. We're glad that Margarita's taking care of a new program, and it's exciting, but she sure needs our prayer. So as you're leaving, we're going to be praying for you right now. Let's just join our hearts together. Thank you, God. And thank you, Lord, for people who are willing to lead when it comes to our children. And we know how valuable our children are, that they are that just that future generation. And we ask that, Lord, those little boys and girls will rise up to know you and serve you with all of their hearts, that the things that they're learning today, that these are seeds that are going to be planted deep in their hearts. And Lord, that we'll, each one of us will take a role in instructing and teaching and encouraging them and showing them a great example of what it looks like to love Jesus. And I pray that this is what it will all be about, loving you, Jesus, that our children will learn to love you with all their hearts. And Lord, for so often that's just such a natural thing for children. They just come and they readily sit on your lap. And often it's more about what we can learn from them than what they need to learn from us. So I pray that we'll have that same readiness to just come to you, Jesus, and to sit on your lap. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's good to be home. We were gone for a week. We weren't missed too much. I think everything was good. We spent a week in Cuba, and we had a great time there. And it was just a, you know, once in a while, it really struck me this week that how important it is for all of us. But it was important for me to get off the merry-go-round. And sometimes you're on that merry-go-round, you don't even know how many times you're going around anymore. But it was a really great time just to be with my wife. And yes, to, you know, my forehead doesn't lie. Like, I got too much of it. So there was sun, yes. We got to read a lot of books and spent time praying and just time being together. It was a great time to just get away and seek God. And I feel fresh. I feel like God's got a new purpose. And he encouraged me to encourage you to, you know, just to keep the faith. One of the things that just kept coming back to me is he just kept saying to me, you don't need to do it all. I never asked you to do it all. In fact, I never even asked you to do very much. You just really just need to do what you're supposed to do. And sometimes we get caught up in that stuff. We think, well, I got to do it on. I got to take this. I got to do this. I got to start this. You know, God just says, you just got to be you. And if every one of us just did what God wanted every one of us to do, we'd be fine. I mean, we are fine, but we would be the church he wants us to be. You don't need to be, you know, like Mitch or like Stan or like Sherry. You just need to be like you. God just wants to put his body together and say, you are all gifted, every one of you. There isn't anyone who isn't integral, isn't absolutely important to the putting together of this body of Christ. And, you know, we've been saying goodbye to Len and Hilly the last couple weeks, and clearly they were great leaders among us, and they led us to a point, you know, where we have a much deeper and stronger foundation than we've had before. But we are not lost because they are moving to BC. We just need to take up the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit that he's given us. We need to take on the gifts and just do whatever God is calling us to do. And I'm going to encourage you today to do that. Don't wait for someone in leadership to come up to you and say, well, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? Listen to God. You don't need to listen to anyone but God. You have the Holy Spirit in your life, and it's God who opens the doors for you and says, it's time for you. You know, it's time for you to get involved and to use your gifts and to be involved in ministry, because you are gifted by the Holy Spirit. One of the things we wondered about when we went to Cuba, excuse me, was just, you know, what was going on with the church there. We'd heard things from Doug because Doug had gone there a year earlier, and there's lots of little churches, or there are some little churches there with pastors. It's a very impoverished country. It's a very oppressed country, I would say, you know, by the politics and the communism. Even though they're very happy people, you got to say that there's just a lot of joy there, and they have very little. The average Cuban makes $16 a month. You know, they're not making much. They're not living off much. One of the things that was really cool, we were praying about it through the week, is we just said, God, show us someone who's a Christian, or give us some sense of what's going on with the church. And I actually did talk to a couple of waiters. I don't know if they're Christians or not, but I would say, God bless you, and they'd say, God bless you back. And it's kind of like, we're on the same wavelength, I think, right? But one of the cool things was we hired a guy to show us Havana. And rather than do the whole bus thing where you get on a tour with 100 people and you got to stop, you know, 80 times down the road and it takes forever, we just hired a guy who did this sort of privately. And one of the reasons we wanted to do that is we wanted to have an opportunity to talk to someone who really could speak English. And I wanted to ask him a whole bunch of questions. I had all kinds of questions for him. It was like going to school for a day. And I won't tell you all the stuff he talked about, but we talked about communism and the economy and whether they'd ever make up with the U.S. and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But the most important question that we asked him was, what about the church? What's going on with the church in Cuba? Is the Spirit of God alive here? And his answer was, oh, yeah. And he said, there's 50% of the people here who are religious. Okay. I'm not sure we're quite on the same, you know, you're understanding my English. But so we pushed that a little bit more. And we said, well, how many people are going to church? How many churches are there? And he said, things are going pretty good. You know, the Pope had visited Cuba twice in the last 15 years or something like that. He said, but there is something we're kind of upset of. Some of us are a little alarmed about. It's that there's these cult groups that are starting to happen all over the place. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, they're cults. These are people, they meet in homes, he said. And I got a guy on my corner, on my street, who meets in a home. They don't even come. When the Pope showed up, they don't even go and see the Pope. And they don't meet in the church. They don't go to the church to meet. They meet in their houses. And there's only two things that matter to these people. And they're growing, he says. They just keep more and more. They're just multiplying. It seems like every corner there's one, he says. And he says, there's only two things that matter to these people. I said, well, what is it? He says, it's Jesus and the Bible. I know, and I just had to kind of try to keep my smile down. Oh, you're kidding me. Thank God for Jesus and the Bible. And, you know, we ran, there's a number of people that I just know that they're loving God and they're following God. And sometimes they can't say things, or even from their employment point of view, they're not allowed to talk to us on those, or even their language. There's a language barrier there. But God is alive and well in Cuba, and he continues to work there. Praise God. And on that happy note, I'm going to ask Larry to come up. Larry's going to lead a good part of our service today. He's got some help, and come on up here. I'm going to pray for you. Larry is, I say this all the time, but you're a son of our congregation, son of Jim and Lorraine, a man of God, a man who for many years, how many years have you been working up in Vanderhoof?
16 years,
works with the native population, and does a lot of camps through Camp Living Water. And I got to tell you, more and more, God's been laying it on our hearts, that we need to get behind this more. That we know how hard it is in our Aboriginal culture and the people we're working with. You know, it's hard to deal with people who have lived for 20 years in addiction or in oppression or whatever it is. You know, we need to get at them when they're available, I think, when it's younger, right? And we've heard great stories about what God's doing. I'm not going to tell your story. That's what you're here to do. But it's just a great opportunity. Larry has camps, and I know you're probably looking for volunteers again. And we've had different people that have volunteered with Larry, and it's a way to bring Christ to children and to lead them to Christ and to see God plant those seeds that are going to last and bring great fruit. So, God, I pray for my brother Larry. I thank you for him. Thank you. We pray for him together, Lord, as a congregation and as a family and as a body of Christ. Lift him up, God. Give him power. Give him a fresh breath of God today. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will just be on him and that he will be encouraged in the work that he's doing. I know that sometimes it's difficult and it seems like it's always uphill, but Lord, I pray for him. We pray for him, and we ask that the Spirit of the living God will be upon him, that you would awake his soul. Awake his soul, God, and that this coming summer is going to be the most powerful, the most effective summer in terms of reaching young Native kids. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, and we're excited to hear from our brother today. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll give you this mic. I got to find it. Jeff, do you know where the mic is? The remote mic? Here it comes. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. It's coming.
It's going to be loud. Just I gotta adjust.
Let's see. Okay, that's not too bad. Praise the Lord. It's always a wonderful thing to be here at this church. Just so many people that I know here. It's always coming home. And it's good to be with people that miss my mom as much as I do in many ways. On the Facebook, Alec Taylor, he put on there that he was 14 days sober. Oh. And that he said he was one sober Indian. But I was just thinking about what my mom would do. You know, she would just go, "Way to go."
Yeah.
That's what she would tell him. You know, she just wanted to encourage anyone who took any even little steps to get their life better and work. And so it's exciting. And, you know, I was just thinking of Sonny there. Last time I was here, his life was hanging by a thread. And here he is in church. And God is doing a great work in his life. Praise God. So God is really on the move. He really is working. And sometimes we in Canada, we find it a little more difficult. And I was over in Uganda. I'm going to just show you a little movie of that. Because we do camps here, we've been doing camps for, I guess, it's 38 years now in Alberta. And God has opened a door and connected with us with the people who love children over Uganda who really wanted to start a camp. And so we began talking, and we said, well, you know what, we can bring over some people that are experienced with camp. And we can do camp. And so we had a great time doing that. But just as Pastor Stan was saying, you know, when you go to a different place and you see the openness of people to the Lord, it just really floors you. We just walking up and down the streets, we were at a guest house, and then we had to walk down the hill to catch a taxi to go where we were going at some different times, or we just walked to the market. And you could just stop and talk to people about Jesus. You could give out tracts. And you know, at first I was really scared because I know what happens in Canada. They just want to rip up the tract, or people just, you know, they just look at you like you've invaded their space, and they just want to, you know, run away. But the people were so different. They were just so gracious. They wanted to hear. They received. They took it. You know, I gave a tract to one guy, and the other three there, "Oh, can we have one? Can we have one?" You know, they all wanted a story about Jesus. And the children as well, just so open, just so such opportunities. And here we really have a hard time gathering children together to hear about Jesus. But over there we just walked up about 100 meters either side of the guest house and just started to tell a few children. Next thing you know, we had over 60 children on the lawn just coming together to hear about Jesus. And they were just so hungry, so open. So it was a great opportunity. And so it affects you as you come back to Canada. You see the difference, but it makes you pray. God, you can do that in Canada. You can bring that hunger back. You can stir afresh in our nation. But we really see what we need, you know. Again, as Pastor Stan mentioned about the poverty, you know what? They don't really need our money. They've got Jesus. And they're just evangelical churches all over the place. There's just been such a revival in Uganda in the last 20 years, just such an incredible harvest. And there's just that need for discipleship and training and growth in the Lord. So God can do it here. God can stir hearts. He can bring harvest into our community. And what I've been doing is I've just been saying, Lord, you know, I believe that you're moving on people in Canada too. And you want to lead us by your Holy Spirit to the ones that are hungry, the ones that are open. You can lead us to those ones. And we can tell them about Jesus. They can come to know you. And he has given us that Holy Spirit for that purpose, that we can do that. So first of all, some of you have been praying about our trip to Uganda and the camp that we did there, and some of you supported that. So we're going to just show you about 10 minutes of a video of what we did in Uganda. This is not it, but it is coming.
Was a great success with approximately 500 children, many of whom responded for prayer. Thank you.
Streams of Life is the main church, and it's the church that we work with there. This is another church that we did a crusade at, and as you can see, it's their churches sometimes aren't that nice on the outside, but it doesn't really matter. They just gather together and praise the Lord. It's actually the moon. The moon is sideways at the equator. It lies on its back. Yeah, there were some beautiful sunsets and sun rises, it always comes up at 7 and goes down at 7, unlike here. So they have 12 hours of sunlight. And that's Lake Victoria. We're quite close to Lake Victoria. The camp's kind of on a hill, beautiful location. And the cool breezes would come in the morning, which was really nice. Cooled down a little bit. Most of the time it was plus 29 or 30. Okay, we're going to stop it there. Thank you. You know, it was amazing. We didn't really have to change our camp program hardly at all. Kids are kids all over the world, and they just really enjoyed the puppet shows and the actions, teaching them dramas, getting them involved and all that. And just the openness, and as we said at the beginning of the video there, there's just so many children. We were able to touch over 1,000 children in the different crusades, camps, and things that we did, and just minister to them the love of God. So we were just blessed, and we're sending another team now in May. They're going to go do a teen camp, and they're going to be in the same place doing a teen camp over there. And next January, we plan to go back and run another kids camp in that same place. So we're very thankful to the Lord for that, what he has done. But we are also running camp here in Alberta, and we're really excited about Camp Living Water and the blessing that God has been. We had our annual meeting yesterday, and God has just blessed and taken care of all our needs, and God is going in the right direction. We do have an opportunity to purchase the property where we're at, and we're going to be working on that over the next 3 or 4 years and begin to move in that direction, and be able to have our own camp permanently in the same right place. And we're really thankful that Dave, he stepped up and joined us as a part of our board for a year. So strengthen our connection here with you guys for what we're doing with the camp, and for the many volunteers that have come over the years to help us in different ways, and all your prayers. It's been a blessing. So we're going to just show you a few slides here. We started with teen camp. We had to camp our kids from about 10 different locations here. Next one. And the kids, the teens, we were just so blessed this year. We were just so touched. It was all the same in BC as it was in Alberta, that the teen camps, most of the teens just came looking for a touch for God. They didn't come looking to cause trouble, which we usually have 3 or 4 or 5 that do. But this time they just came to receive. And so we just had really awesome chapel times. And the kids just really were blessed. We did a lot of crazy hair days, as you'll see in a lot of the pictures. And God always provides just wonderful food and different things as we go along. The first kids' week was our toughest week. We really had a spirit of lawlessness that just really came upon the camp during this week, and it caused a lot of struggle. And yet, you know, as you can see, they're really sweet kids on the outside. No, it's most of them were. We just had a few that caused us a fair bit of trouble. But, you know, it's spiritual battle. We know we're in a spiritual war. We know that the enemy does not want to let go of the children. And we were just in High Prairie, where some of these kids came from, and we were talking to the leader of their miracle club, and they've been running that for a number of years, and they've been bringing kids to our camp for about 4 years. And he said he was talking to a policeman, and the policeman patrols the area where most of the kids come from. And he said that it used to be that it was just call after call after call, this disturbance, that disturbance, so many problems. And the policeman said to him, you know what? Since you started this miracle club and these kids have been coming, he says, our nights are boring. He says, I just drive around. There's nothing to do. And you know, that doesn't make sense. We're just touching kids. How can kids make the difference? But it's the power of the Word of God, amen, being sown into lives. And the Word of God makes changes. And so as we sow into these little children and keep sending them back generation after generation, and you know, we're getting third and fourth generation kids coming now. And as I look even, you know, as at many of the kids that we have touched over the years, there's some that are really going on for God and some that aren't, but even the ones that aren't, I see how they treat their children, how they love their children and look after the kids so much better than the generation before. And you just see the work that the Word of God and the Spirit of God is working in there. We also know that God is the Lord of the harvest, and He watches over these seeds that are being planted in these young lives. And that so often I'm getting contacted on Facebook or emails or texts, just people asking me to pray for them, kids that have been in camp or I run across them, and know that those seeds are still very much in their life, still very much at work, that they know that God is there. So we run one teen camp and four kids camps here in Alberta. The camp is near Barrhead, and we have a couple fairly large weeks. Our largest week is about 120 kids, and then a couple of our other camps are 70 and 100, and then the last one's not quite as big. God blessed us with good staff this year, and we had a great time with the kids. Saw God do some really powerful things as he touched many of these young lives and brought some healing. Healing is probably the biggest thing, that inner healing. Some of these kids, a lot of them come with brokenness and wounds and hurts, and that's one of the emphases that we have, that the love of God is able to heal. This past year, our theme was, you are a child of God, and you have a Heavenly Father who loves you. And that's a powerful theme for anybody to know, that we have a Heavenly Father who cares about us and loves us. So as I mentioned, we're going again this year, and it's a mission field in our own backyard. And I have some brochures for counselors. If you're interested in volunteering, you can come for a week or 2 weeks or however long and join in. And Marilise, of course, has been there a number of times, and so has Sunny. Sunny, you haven't been to the new location yet. You were always in Pembina, right? Yeah. And he helped a lot. So they know what goes on, so you can talk to them if you're interested in participating. So we're going to have a couple of our counselors here come and do a song for you. This is Dee and Mama. They're from Fiji, and they're part of a singing group called the Eagle's Wings. And we just have two of them with us today, and they're going to come and do a song for us.
One, two. Hello, you can hear me?